Chapter 5, Conformity to the World.
The Lord Jesus has said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Luke 9:23. Christ's words made an impression on the minds of his hearers. Many of them, though not clearly comprehending his instruction, were moved by deep conviction to say decidedly, "Never man spake like this man." John 7:46. The disciples did not always understand the lessons which Christ wished to convey by parables, and when the multitude had gone away, they would ask him to explain his words. He was ever ready to lead them to a perfect understanding of his word and his will, for from them, in clear, distinct lines, truth was to go forth to the world. At times, Christ reproached his disciples with the slowness of their comprehension. He placed in their possessions truths of which they little suspected the value. He had been with them a long time, giving them lessons in divine truth, but their previous religious education, the erroneous interpretation which they had heard the Jewish teachers place on the Scriptures, kept their minds clouded. Christ promised them that he would send them his Spirit, who would recall his words to their mind as forgotten truths. "He shall teach you all things," Christ said, "and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." John 14:26. The way the Jewish teachers explained the Scriptures, their endless repetitions of maxims and fiction, called forth from Christ the words, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." They performed in the temple courts their round of service. They offered sacrifices, typifying the great sacrifice, saying by their ceremonies, "Come, my Savior." Yet Christ, the one whom all these ceremonies represented, was among them, and they would not recognize nor receive him. The Savior declared, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Matthew 15:8-9. Christ is saying to his servants today, as he said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." But men are as slow now to learn the lesson as in Christ's day. God has given his people warning after warning, but the customs, habits, and practices of the world have had so great power on the minds of his professed people that his warnings have been disregarded. Those who act a part in God's great cause are not to follow the example of worldlings. The voice of God is to be heeded. He who depends on men for strength and influence leans on a broken reed. Depending on men has been the great weakness of the church. Men have dishonored God by failing to appreciate his sufficiency, by coveting the influence of men. Thus Israel became weak. The people wanted to be like the other nations of the world, and they asked for a king. They desired to be guided by human power, which they could see, rather than by the divine invisible power that till that time had led and guided them, and had given them victory in battle. They made their own choice, and the result was seen in the destruction of Jerusalem and the dispersion of the nation. We cannot put confidence in any man, however learned, however elevated he may be, unless he holds the beginning of his confidence in God firm unto the end. What must have been the power of the enemy upon Solomon? A man whom inspiration has thrice called the beloved of God, and to whom was committed the great work of building the temple. In that very work, Solomon made an alliance with idolatrous nations, and through his marriages he bound himself up with heathen women, through whose influence he, in his later years, forsook the temple of God to worship in the groves he had prepared for their idols. So now, men set God aside as not sufficient for them. They resort to worldly men for recognition and think that by means of the influence gained from the world, they can do some great thing. But they mistake. By leaning on the arm of the world instead of the arm of God, they turn aside the work which God desires to accomplish through His chosen people. When brought in contact with the higher classes of society, let not the physician feel that he must conceal the peculiar characteristics which sanctification through the truth gives him. The physicians who unite with the work of God are to cooperate with God as His appointed instrumentalities. They are to give all their powers and efficiency to magnifying the work of God's commandment-keeping people. Those who, in their human wisdom, try to conceal the peculiar characteristics that distinguish God's people from the world will lose their spiritual life and will no longer be upheld by His power. Our medical workers should never entertain the idea that it is essential to make an appearance of being wealthy. There will be a strong temptation to do this with the thought that it will give influence. But I am instructed to say that it will have the opposite effect. All who seek to uplift themselves by conforming to the world set an example that is misleading. God recognizes as His those only who practice the self-denial and sacrifice which He has enjoined. Physicians are to understand that their power lies in their meekness and lowliness of heart. God will honor those who make Him their dependence. The style of a physician's dress, his equipage, his furniture, count not one jot with God. He cannot work by His Holy Spirit with those who try to compete with the world in dress and display. He who follows Christ must deny himself and take up the cross. The physician who loves and fears God will need to make no outward display in order to distinguish himself, for the Sun of Righteousness is shining in his heart and is revealed in his life, and this gives him distinction. Those who work in Christ's lines will be living epistles, known and read of all men. Through their example and influence, men of wealth and talent will be turned from the cheapness of material things to lay hold on eternal realities. The greatest respect will ever be shown to the physician who reveals that he receives his directions from God. Nothing will work so powerfully for the advancement of God's instrumentality as for those connected with it to stand steadfast as His faithful servants. The physician will find that it is for his present and eternal good to follow the Lord's ways of working. The mind that God has made, he can mold without the power of man, but he honors men by asking them to cooperate with him in his great work. Many regard their own wisdom as sufficient, and they arrange things according to their judgment, thinking to bring about wonderful results. But if they would depend on God and not on themselves, they would receive heavenly wisdom. Those who are so engrossed with their work that they cannot find time to press their way to the throne of grace and obtain counsel from God will turn the work into wrong channels. Our strength lies in our union with God through His only begotten Son and in our union with one another. The surgeon most truly successful is he who loves God, who sees God in His created work and worships Him as he traces His wise arrangement in the human organism. The most successful physician is he who fears God from his youth, as did Timothy, who feels that Christ is his constant companion, a friend with whom he can always commune. Such a physician would not exchange his position for the highest office the world could give. He is more anxious to honor God and secure His approval than to secure patronage and honor from the great men of the world.